Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And Nemo Cicados.
We're all in the studio today, and we are bringing you a show about America. It's arguments versus its excuses. And we're going to talk about specifically the things that we have been seeing happening at camp, the accusations made by the local government, by the law enforcement, by a lot of the pro-pipeline, back-the-blue people against water protectors, saying that they are polluters, hypocrites, eco-terrorists, that they're going to leave a mess at the camp. We're going to talk about North Dakota's poop fetish. The poop fetish, they keep talking about poop. The police had excrement thrown at them, according to the police, by water protectors. There was poop that supposedly was left out at the camp.
Yeah, Doug Burgum had a poop conference the other day. In fact, he met at the Capitol, and the press was there, and basically said there was a lot of human excrement in the on the ground, all over the place, and they needed to declare a state of emergency. And this is Mom Jeans wearing Burgum, you know, who's worried about this. And yet there's oil spills, over 300 oil spills, basically, in the past several years, and only one has been reported to the public. They aren't very concerned about all that wastewater, and Cindy's going to talk about that tonight.
Yes, I'm going to talk about a lot of things. But the overreaching message that I'm going to talk about tonight is about the hypocrisy. And it's a racist hypocrisy in this country. So we will also be talking about indigenous Mexican people. We are under attack in this country. We have been for a long time. But right now, the raids, the call for 100,000 American soldiers, National Guardsmen, to be used to round up people, the travel bans, all of the awful things that are being done to target people of color. I feel like it's Nazi Germany and we're dealing with Checkpoint Charlie.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, they've moved checkpoints all over 1806. That road's been closed for months and months and months. And they keep on creating new checkpoints. There's checkpoints all over roads going into the reservation. What's with the checkpoints in North Dakota?
What's with the checkpoints for indigenous people? They're pulling Mexicans off the road. White people could just go right on by. No problemo. We're going to be talking about all of that tonight. So if you're just joining us, sit back and get ready for America. Argument versus excuses here on A Mexican Crossing Lines. You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online, so if you're not in the Fargo-Moorhead metro area, you can catch us by going to kppfm.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. And you can find all of our other content and shows at that location as well. And of course, we always want to hear from you. I want you to know I'm going to be bringing you updates on Mary Trujillo. I want you to know I'm going to be telling you a lot of new information you didn't know about. I want you to know that I do listen. I do hear all of the information that you send me. Sometimes it takes me a while because there's a lot of it. And I appreciate that because you guys keep me informed. We keep each other informed. So I'm very thankful for all your comments, questions, and messages. Duke, how can folks get a hold of us?
Well, there's many ways to get a hold of us. One way is to call our message line, which is 701-566-0917. Also, you can email Cindy at kppfm.com or me, Duke, at kppfm.com. You can go to our Facebook site at 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead. You know, I don't have it in front of me.
The People's Press Project. The
People's Press Project.
And Mexi-Can.
And don't forget to go to kppfm.com. Listen to the podcast. The podcasts we have up are all the shows we've aired. And we have months and months and months of updates in Standing Rock. And I encourage you to go look at that.
Please do. Please go and check out all of our other content. Nemo's in the house. You want to go check out Nemo's show sometime. Finding Me with the amazing Darcy Jada Corbett, co-host. And other guests, of course.
And other guests.
Yes, we can't hear you, Nemo. Say hi to everybody. Everybody's saying
hello.
They said, sup, Nemo. So let's get right into this. First of all, I want to talk about the ecological Indian. We have to talk about the ecological Indian to understand this BS that we are being faced with regard to the camp clean up. Okay?
I studied a whole entire class about this specifically back in college.
You studied a whole entire class about the ecological Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the rough summary, a quick summary of what that means for the listeners who are just tuning in and going, what's an ecological Indian?
The ecological Indian is basically the myth that indigenous people were, like, you know, very in touch with the earth and just kind of like it was kind of like a mystical sort of thing. And the mysticism was that, like, you know, they were maintaining the earth and, you know, perfect about it and, you know, really maintaining it, unlike the settlers that came in. But you know what? You put us on a pedestal as indigenous people to be perfect, and then, like, you smack us when we fail in some way or form. And the thing is, we're human beings. We do make mistakes. In fact, anthropology has shown, Duke can also vouch as a fellow anthropologist studier, that there have been, you know, trials and errors here on this continent of different environmental impacts that Native people have made, and then they change their methods in order to better take care of where they're living. Because there has been times where our people are living in a place and then we move on because we did too much damage. But it's also so that we can restore that area, you know?
Right. So, I mean, what the myth of the ecological Indian, why it's a myth, is because the colonizers came here. And yes, our people, many of them were nomadic, but many of them lived in established cities. My people, for example, the Mexica people, they were living in cities. They were living in cities that were bigger than any cities on the face of the earth. Bigger than Paris, bigger than London, bigger than any European country. More modern, more clean. The Europeans that came here, who taught them how to take a bath? We did. Our people did sweats. Our people knew about the most healthy way of being clean. Our people did inipi. Our people did sweats. That is our tradition of cleanliness and health. These are things that we were taught by our ancestors that go all the way back to the creation. To the creation stories, our people were taught, and it was written that one of the original gods that created humanity, they saw that when the animals went into this sweat, this cave, that they stayed alive longer. And they were more healthy. And this is how we learned for ourselves to do the sweat, to be clean, to wash ourselves all the time. That's how we learned in the structures and the building of our cities. We had clean cities. We had sewage systems that worked. We had irrigation systems. We had systems of growing our food on chinampas, floating gardens on the lakes that could grow a variety of foods together so that we didn't have the burden that goes along with corporate farming, that goes along with industrialized world farming, where you take all the nutrients out of the soil until the point that the soil is dead. All of these things are things that come from the history of indigenous people. And we know that when the colonizers came here, they took our way of life. They literally killed peoples. They killed entire peoples through genocide, through giving people smallpox blankets, through basically biological warfare. An indigenous people of this continent were wiped out through genocide, intentional. And those of us who survived had to become assimilated. Kill the Indian, save the man, assimilated. Listen to what I'm speaking. I speak perfect English. Am I the Queen of England? No, I'm not. I am an indigenous person that speaks this language because I have been colonized, because I have been assimilated. And through that process of genocide and assimilation, our people were taken away from their way of life. So the colonizer came here, took our way of life, killed our people, made it impossible for us to live up to this mystical ecological Indian, and then now blames us in perpetuity for not being the ecological Indian. What is that famous commercial of the Indian crying? You've seen this commercial. You've seen these pictures. What is that about? Because the Indian will cry if you pollute the earth. The Indian is the one that cares whether or not this world is taken care of. It draws on a stereotype. And stereotypes are bad because they pigeonhole us. We cannot live in the present. We do not have a future. We exist only as that stereotype. In full regalia, with a tear in our eye, because the earth is being polluted, right? Living in a teepee, forever chasing buffalo. This is what people need to understand about the narrative that is going on with regard to the dirty Indian, to the people at the camp, and also, by the way, for all the white folks that decided to come and be their allies. Because you all have been stereotyped as well. If you stand next to an indigenous person and fight for the ecosystem, for the earth, for the clean water, you are a dirty hippie. Or you are an eco-terrorist. You are a nomad. You are a paid protester. That means you are a hobo that likes to travel from protest to try to get people to, you know, take care of you, basically.
Yeah, and to push your agenda. You know, it's eco-terrorist, and you're totally right. I think people need to think about that and also fight against those stereotypes. Nemo brought up the myth of the
ecological Indian, yeah.
Ecological Indian, and Cindy's unpacking this, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much more to say about that.
I thought you did. I felt like you were leading into something.
I was trying to do this filler. But however, when you were talking, I didn't want to interrupt you. I'll bring up the crane.
Yeah,
person from the from
that?
Course.
Oh, yeah, I did. It's a gif right now.
Okay,
so
it's running right now. What I have to say about that?
Yeah.
You all remember this iconic commercial,
right?
About pollution. You know, and it's about cleaning up the environment, the Water Protection Act. And yet this person is a native. This person's not an indigenous person. And yet it's an iconic symbol that we see.
He's Italian.
He's Italian.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Yep. Of course, they never use real Indians.
Yeah.
To be Indians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They use other white people, basically red face, as they call it. You need to go watch that movie about Real Engines. Go check out Real Engines. It is spelled R-E-E-L, Engines.
Wasn't it on Netflix? I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, Netflix takes all the good movies down.
Yeah.
As soon as people go and find, ooh, this is an awesome movie, then they're like, bye, no more. So it might be up there, but you can look it up online. And it shows you how we've been erased even in movies. It's a great film, though. It's a really great film.
Definitely.
Okay, so these labels, these roles, these stereotypes that are put upon us, whether you're a white person that is being stereotyped as an N-word lover, as a Mexican lover, as a eco-terrorist, hippie, hobo, what, or you're an indigenous person that's being told that you're a dirty Indian, that you're a diseased Indian, that you are somebody that is looking for a handout. All of these things come from some place. And in order to understand why they're so effective, why they get under people's skin, why people have a knee-jerk reaction to it, you have to understand how oppression works. You have to understand that in our country, which is based, our country was founded on the principles, founded on the principles of white supremacy. If you don't know, you need to go listen to the show that I did on A Mexican Crossing Lines about immigration. I can't remember what the name of the show was. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, let's see. No, I don't.
But it was the article was called, the article that I wrote, which I talked about in that show, was Border Patrol as a Function of White Supremacy and Why No Mexicans Should Be in the Service. Why exactly. No Mexicans Should Be Border Patrol.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
You can
go
find that article on mexi-can.org.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, .com, .org. And go back and check out that show, because I talk about the foundational history of how the politic of this country, the Congress members, the president, they all talked about the fact that this country was established and founded for European, the Caucasian race, and only the Caucasian race. Understand that. And if you don't understand that, it can be confusing, because somebody told you once upon a time that the founding fathers, not my daddy, that the founding fathers, that they founded this country on the principles of equality and that every man is equal. No, they founded it on the principles that every white man is equal. They did not consider women to be autonomous human beings. They were considered property, like a cow or a pig. And black people were not considered humans. So they too were considered property, like a cow or a pig. And indigenous people were not considered humans. That's why they murdered us by the millions and millions. So, if you understand that that was the foundational principles, then any Indian that survives is to be feared, is to be repudiated, is to be threatened, because no one wants to look over their shoulder for the rest of their life at a descendant of someone whose entire race you slaughtered, stole from, and then built all of your wealth around. No one does. So in this country, one of the national pastimes, besides lynching us from trees, burning us, and cutting us up, and raping us, and breaking up our families, and killing our food supplies, the continuation of that genocide is to humiliate us. And the way that it's done is the way that oppressed people are erased and gaslighted. They're called derailment tactics. You can go look them up online and find out all the many ways in which people use these derailment tactics to make you feel like you do not have a voice. If you've ever been married to somebody that's abusive, if you've ever been in a partnership with somebody that's abusive, you might have experienced some of these things, because they're from a cycle of abuse. It's a way of abusing someone to deny their existence, to deny their experience, and to make them feel like they're crazy when they tell you what their experience really is. It's called gaslighting, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some of the other ways in which people derail? Silencing, erasure, They use a variety of different tactics.
Yeah, sometimes they bring in irrelevant topics.
That's true.
Like, iconically, like, you know, you'll talk about issues that affect Black people, like police brutality. But then XYZ white person says, what about Black-on-Black crime? And it's just like, that is totally irrelevant because we're not talking about that right now.
That's the
And it's like, look at Y-on-Y crime. It's about the same.
Look at this thing over here. Let's talk about something else. That's exactly. Another derailment tactic.
Yeah, another one is you just brought up. She said, Google it. A lot of times people will say, well, explain it to me. They stop the whole conversation.
Educate me
on that before they can actually have a conversation with you that you're actually talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and what I like is a person of color says to me, Google it, then talk to me. And I'm like, gotcha.
Will do. But you're not Googling my articles or even looking at the links I give you. So.
Right. And then there's the, not all these people, not all men, not all white people, not all police.
Sounds like a song.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes, but all oppressed people feel these things. So what's going on?
Yes. And what you're saying when you try to find an excuse to oppress people is exactly what we're talking about today in America.
Exactly.
An argument versus an excuse. And most of the time, when people are doing these things to you, when they are trying to make a reason why it's okay to continue the genocide of our people, to continue to oppress us, the response in North Dakota, the response to every little thing that Indigenous people and their allies have done at Standing Rock has been egregious, has been hypocritical, it has been criminal, it has been abusive, it has been oppressive. And yet, people in the state of North Dakota at every turn will look at you and they will tell you with a straight face that there is a state of emergency. Our new governor, Doug Burgum, will stand there and hold a poop conference and tell you with a straight face that a bunch of the people at Standing Rock took crap all over the place.
That's right.
There should be giant dung piles everywhere out there. And they, seriously, how many times have they talked about poop?
They've been talking about feces since the beginning. They've talked about flinging feces here.
That water protectors are throwing poop.
I know. And there's no evidence of that. That burning logs and burning feces, you know, it's just been all this stuff.
I know, they're so obsessed. I mean, even the cops are, like, you know, defecating on, like, ceremonial, like, materials and everything.
No, I swear that the sheriff from Mandan, what's his name again? Kirchmeyer, is that his name? No.
Kirkmeyer.
Someone was doing a live stream and they showed him stepping over to the side to urinate on the ground. You know, so
what?
It's like, it's on a live stream. I've seen that.
Oh,
I thought,
snap.
It was a while ago, but you know.
That's the only evidence that we have of defecation and urination. The cops urinating and defecating all over the treaty camp.
Yeah.
And objects, sacred objects, mm-hmm. ceremonial objects, mm-hmm. teepees, tents, all of the possessions of the people
yes.
that they came in and brutalized on October mm-hmm. 27th mm-hmm. at the treaty camp.
Exactly.
And destroyed all of their things and then threw them in a dumpster
yeah. mm-hmm.
and poured them out on the ground. And numerous people reported that the stuff was covered in urine and feces.
Yeah, so you know who's slinging the feces? It's been the Morton County and the DAPL security.
Mm-hmm.
Where else did we hear about feces? Kathleen Bennett's mom, Mary Trujillo.
Oh,
according
that's right.
to Bill Runningfisher,
that's right.
she was caked
in feces.
Feces.
Yes,
and
yes.
in her urine.
And, mm-hmm. and none of that's true, by the way. You all know that if you listen to any of our shows on mm-hmm. Kathleen Bennett, Mary Trujillo, that has been dispelled.
Yeah.
Key witness of that is lying. It's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And heck, if you've even been to camp, you would know that, like, you know, even just the days that we were, people were heavily maintaining the cleanliness of the camp, picking up cigarette butts from the floor and putting them
everything.
And throwing them in the trash.
You know,
and then even asking, are you finished with that? May I throw it away? Yes, here you go. Or, you know, please throw that away. They are very consistent about the cleanliness of camp. And it's just, it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been the porta potties were provided for a certain amount of time until they froze. Then composting toilets have been installed. I mean, people have been taking care of camp. So this is it's a bizarre lie.
It's BS. Excuse me, but it's BS.
It's BS, not BL. Yes,
it's mm-hmm. BS.
Yeah,
and it's completely made up.
Mm-hmm.
All of this talk of feces has come out of people that did not even shower when they came here. Diseased and dirty European people. These people who decided to come here to kill us, steal from us, these criminal murderers. They want to tell us we're dirty. That's gaslighting for you. Mm-hmm. It's flipping the tables. It's accusing us constantly of being exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. And it's sick. It's sick, sick stuff. But I want to point out this hypocrisy, because it is truly hypocritical for these people to be categorizing us in this way, to be saying, oh, they're going to leave abandoned cars out there. Oh my God, abandoned cars. Oh my God, they're going to get into the river. Really? Is that what we're talking about? Because around here in Minnesota and North Dakota, in this area, they love to go ice fishing up here. I have not lived here for a single year without watching some idiot drive his car into the ice. And I know that the majority of those idiots driving their cars into the ice are white folks. They are not indigenous people. They are not dirty Indians, as they would have you believe. These people do this every single year.
Exactly.
Do they not?
Oh, yeah.
Am I crazy?
No,
yeah,
right
now I'm pulling up this image right here, like on my, what is it, my right, I guess.
You do have your own microphone.
Okay. I'm just borrowing this one real quick, because like this is an image that we pulled up from like one of our flood years. Like it happens all the time, and then people still get their cars stuck in water anyway. I mean, come on.
Well, the point being is that Minnesotans and North Dakotans drive their cars in lakes all the time. And also we have floods. We have floods all over. Every community has floods. There are always cars. There's always feces in the water. The coliforms, you know, one reason they tell you during a flood is not to walk in the water, because there's human waste, because sewer systems back up and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
And so it's like to have some pits that are composting pits, which, by the way, are in the ground, and the way they're handling them, it's decaying, and it's changing the... It's composting the human waste. We dump our human waste in a water treatment plant. It has to be processed and chemicalized and done. Spent millions of dollars to purify the water after we use it because of our ineffective systems. So they're complaining about something that we do all the time.
Exactly. Thank you for pointing that out, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
When municipalities, when governments, when corporations, when they destroy the water, when they dump toxic things into the water, when they poison the water, when they poison our rivers, when they frack, when they spill oil, when they spill gas, when they spill and burn and blow up things, totally fine. All those people in Flint, Michigan drinking lead, not a problem. Governor Snyder is A-okay. But you get a bunch of Indians camping at Standing Rock, that is an emergency. Call the National Guard. Get all these law enforcement agencies out here from 76 different places. Round these people up. Beat them over the head. Arrest them and get them out of here immediately. Militarized police response of a racist and genocidal colonizer mentality here in North Dakota.
And meanwhile, at the exact same time when they're doing this and talking about needing to do this, they're drilling under the lake. They're producing toxic sludge.
Hypocrites.
They are producing materials that needs to be hauled out of there as they drill under the lake. They're using chemicals and all sorts of lubricants to get this drill to go through. That water is contaminated. So there's a whole bunch of contaminated water that they have to deal with. And here they're focusing on the camp. Mm-hmm. And it's all been a guy's to close down the camp. People are moving to higher ground. There's going to be some flooding. You know, there's melt off and that sort of stuff. But the whole intention is close that camp down. I mean, it's very obvious.
Mm-hmm. Close the camp. Close the camp. And it's hypocritical.
Yes.
We can see it.
Yes.
We've got checkpoints all over the frickin' place in this country now.
Yeah.
It is brown shirt, Nazi, checkpoint Charlie, plate papers, please, America,
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. This is not a figment of my imagination. It's happening all over this country, mostly to black and brown and people that look like they're Muslim or might be a refugee, an immigrant. People that have an accent like they just got here recently or never really learned to speak the language very well. people that speak in other languages, porque por Dios, si hablas en español, es como si fuera un pecado en este país. Racista. Este país ignorante que se fundó de nuestros pellejos, de nuestro sufrimiento, de nuestra sangre. That is what America is in Trumpzaster 2017 America. That is what we are living here. And the hypocrisy of all of this, especially given the fact that our president had investments in this pipeline and is ready to now allow all of this pollution to happen all over the country. They're bringing back the regulations. We're not going to have regulations anymore. He signed so many dictator edicts in the first few days of his administration here.
Exactly.
That everything is going to... You are being poisoned as we speak. You are being poisoned. And I'm not talking about some poop fetish fantasy like North Dakota has. I'm talking about real poison, like from fracking fluid, from produced water, as they call it. Produced water. What is this produced water? That is fracking fluid. It is filled with cancer-causing agents. It destroys the earth. It is 17 times more salty than salt water, such that the earth becomes infertile. It can grow nothing for decades. Fracking fluid does it for hundreds of years. But they want to call out the National Guard to go round up Mexicans. We are indigenous to this continent. Don't forget that. I don't need to show you my papers. My ancestors' bones and my ancestors' blood is littered all over this country. We've been here for 30,000 years or longer. My people originated here. That border wall means nothing to me. It never has. It never will. And you have to understand something. The reason why we are being targeted, indigenous people, whether we are Mexican or whether we are the native nations of the north and of all the way up to Canada, is because of that continued genocide. And if you don't understand history, you are doomed to repeat it. I want you to hear what real pollution is going on in North Dakota. Because this is what we should be talking about. This is what is being covered up. While they're having their poop proclamations and setting up BIA checkpoints and raiding the camp every day, beating people, breaking bones, putting out eyes, ripping up people's limbs. While they're committing human rights and civil rights abuses, they are also killing people, poisoning people. Like, you know, like real poison, like chemical warfare, like Rosol. I'm talking about fracking fluid. I'm talking about the sterilization of the earth. I want you to listen. This is an article from Energy. InsideEnergy.org. Mm-hmm. We will share the link with you in the comments section.
You can also see the preview right here on the screen as well. On
Facebook Live. Awesome. And if you go to this article, you will find a lot of information about, and listen to how pretty it sounds. Produced water. Sounds like water. Mm-hmm. Water is life. Maniwichoni. Good stuff, right?
That's right.
It's poisonous. It is toxic. But they're out there at the camp trying to act like the indigenous people that are fighting for their clean water. They're the dirty ones.
That's right. They're the hypocrites.
They're the hypocrites.
Yeah.
They're the polluters. They're going to pollute the very water that they say they want to protect. Look at these dirty Indians.
Yeah.
Look at these dirty companies.
Yeah.
Listen to what they're doing to our water all across this country.
The pipeline that burst earlier this month and spewed oil into the Yellowstone River in Montana made headlines. But just across the border in North Dakota, another pipeline was leaking a potentially more disastrous substance, wastewater from oil wells. It was the largest such spill since the oil boom began in North Dakota nearly 10 years ago, and more than twice as large in volume as the Yellowstone River oil spill. As Emily Guerin reports for Inside Energy, North Dakota's spill problem is getting worse.
This is the sound of wastewater from an oil well being sucked out of a truck. In 2013, North Dakota produced more than 13 billion gallons of oil and nearly 15 billion gallons of wastewater, what the industry calls produced water. In North Dakota, the water is over 17 times saltier than ocean water, some of the saltiest in the country, and contains fracking chemicals, oil, and radioactive material. Some of that water was used in the fracking process, and some occurs naturally. It's an unwanted byproduct that must be carried by truck or pipeline to an injection well, where it's sent back underground. The vast majority of the time in North Dakota, that's exactly what happens. But when something goes wrong and wastewater spills, the results can be catastrophic. Recently, Joanne Ness and I walked along Blacktail Creek, a small stream that cuts through her farm just north of Williston, North Dakota. The snow lining the creek is stained a rusty color, and there's an oily sheen on the surface of the water.
Did you taste it?
No, should I?
Yes, you should taste it.
Really? Do you want to taste it?
I tasted it.
Earlier this month, Summit Midstream, a pipeline company, discovered one of its pipelines had broken and leaked nearly 3 million gallons of wastewater into Blacktail Creek.
You just put a little on your finger and you just touch it to your tongue. It tastes like worse than table salt. It's just pure, pure salt. I mean, so bad you gotta brush your teeth afterwards. Try it.
Okay. I'll try it. Yeah, it's really salty.
Wastewater is arguably much worse for the land and the people who make a living off of it than oil. It's much harder to clean up, and the salt in it sterilizes the soil for decades. Dave Glott is the head of the North Dakota Department of Health's Environmental Health Division, and he says wastewater spills are his biggest concern.
If we don't get a handle on this, if we don't have appropriate remediation technologies, we'll have a landscape that's kind of pockmarked with all these dead zones.
The problem is getting worse. According to an Inside Energy analysis of state data, the spill rate per well almost tripled between 2004 and 2013. On average, more than 2 gallons of this wastewater spill per minute in North Dakota.
When you look at the cumulative impact over the last 7 or 8 years, this is a massive amount of agricultural land that's being taken out of production and contaminated.
Derek Broughton is a lawyer in Bismarck who represented landowners harmed by another massive wastewater spill 9 years ago. The Charbonneau Creek spill killed plants, fish, turtles, and other animals, and it was devastating to ranchers.
The state vet had done some testing and said that water is fine. And the funny but very serious quote from the rancher was, "Tell my cattle that." And her point was that even if the state vet signed off and said it's fine, the cattle wouldn't drink it.
Back on the Ness's land, Joanne's husband Larry drives us back from the creek. Larry has lived here all his life. His grandparents homesteaded in this area. And Joanne, she loves it here.
Oh, in the spring when the water runs, I just stand outside and you can hear that rushing water. Grandkids like to put little sticks and stuff in there to watch them just float away.
The spill makes them think differently about the creek and about pipelines. 3 weeks ago, the Nesses didn't pay much attention to them. But now, they're upset. Why hasn't more been done to prevent these spills? That's next time from Inside Energy. I'm Emily Guerin in Williston, North Dakota.
Wow. I did not know that they did injection wells and injected that stuff back in the ground. That's something I'd never heard before, and that is so startling. They're injecting that fracking fluid that they forced.
That's how they hide
it. Oh, my God.
That's how they hide it. They're killing us, and they're like, well, you can't see how we're killing you.
Yeah.
We can't. You're dying slowly. You're dying of cancer. Yeah. You're dying of something else. Isn't that nicer than if we just slaughter you?
Yeah.
Isn't that nicer than if we just out and out poison you? Even the cows are smarter than these idiots.
Yep. The cows don't drink the water.
Even these, the cows are like, the cows die. They know. They're not stupid. And then you have these stupid people out there defending these poisoning and going, well, I don't see people dying. Yep. I don't see the spill.
Most of the time.
That's right, idiot, because you can't see through the earth. You don't have X-ray powers. You're not Superman. Duh. You're not going to see it.
Most of the time, I trust animals more than I do people. I mean, if the cattle won't drink it. And generally speaking, cattle aren't even from here. They're pretty dumb. Yeah. And yet they know not to drink that water.
Yeah, and the person that was on the interview too, the expert said that the ground is pockmarked. The prime agricultural land is unusable now in western North Dakota because there's pockmarks, because they have so many spills of this fluid, especially when they're taking it out and injecting it back in. There's all sorts of areas that are dead zones now in North Dakota. And they're worried about some cars parked along the river along 1806. They're worried about some composted toilets.
And you know what? I just want to say this one thing. No, finish what you're saying.
I was going to say, someone said on the feed, what are they doing with the sludge that's coming out of the drilling pad?
Oh, God.
Who knows? You know, and someone said, what about outhouses? Like, Europeans have had outhouses in the homestead, the land that Europeans stole from indigenous people. They've had composting toilets, or they've had outhouses. I mean, these are things that have occurred with human occupation, and yet they're focusing on that again with the myth of making indigenous people dirty and irresponsible.
It's disgusting, and it is an excuse. It is an excuse to say, well, we can't turn everything into water. I mean, we can't turn everything into wind and solar, and we can't just immediately convert. I mean, you're driving a car, right?
Oh, yeah, and it's like, look how much water it takes to make a solar panel. Look how much water it takes to make a wind generator. It's like, yeah, it's a
false equivalency.
It's called an excuse.
Exactly.
It's called an excuse. If you are looking for an excuse to hate water protectors, mm-hmm. you are a hypocrite.
Exactly.
You will find an excuse. And when you see the people that are trolling you, that are telling you, oh, I'm here to play devil's advocate, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but what about that?
Exactly.
Oh, but you know what? There are more important things to think about. There are more important issues for these Indians. Why don't they go back to the res and fix all the drinking problems on the res?
Yeah.
These people are looking for excuses to be inhumane douchebags.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they are usually successful. But you know what? The earth will curse you. The earth will curse you. You will pay for your own stupidity, but you will not take us all with you. No, you will not take us all down with you and your stupid ideas about survival. Die by yourself, moron. We don't all want to go with you. If you're one of the people that is criticizing water protectors and looking for any excuse that you can to do it, for doing what they need to do to survive, then you are an inhumane douchebag. And that is the appropriate term. You know why? Look up what a douchebag is.
Exactly. Google it.
Google douchebag. It is an unnecessary procedure that we don't need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Go Google and see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these folks are.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of their rhetoric, and we need to focus on what's real about these attacks, these forms of oppression that we're seeing in this country. Call people out on their douchebaggery. Call people out on their lies, on their hypocrisy, whether it is about the walls, the checkpoints, the oppression that is being heaped upon indigenous people in this country, whether they be Mexican or other tribes. And I will say this, what is happening in this country in terms of the law enforcement being put out there to go round up innocent, hardworking people, to profile and violate the civil rights of innocent, hard-working people. As we have these Nazi concentration camps called detention centers, where they put children, even U.S. American citizens, in cages with no due process, where they rape children, where they abuse families, where they violate the civil and human rights of people, mostly Mexicans, because we in America have turned a blind eye because it's happening to somebody else. We don't want that in our mind. We don't want that in our lives. So we do nothing about it. We've done nothing about it. Mexican people have been telling you this for a long time. Indigenous people have been telling you this a long time. I don't have to wonder whether or not people in this country hate the earth, want to commit suicide and take everyone with them. I don't have to wonder whether the majority of Americans are homicidal maniacs that want to destroy their own lives. Who has the highest murder rate? Who has the most weapons? Who mistreats and pollutes the earth more than the colonizing rapists of this, our mother earth? The same people who rape indigenous women more than anyone else. It's all there. Just look around you. The signs of the pathology are evident. I just shudder to think how those Morton County monsters treat their wives. I just shudder to think how Kevin Kramer treats his wife, because you know what he said about his mother earth? She's there for the taking.
Exactly. It's his God-given right.
It's his God-given right to rape the earth. That entitled man said it's his God-given right to rape our mother.
Yep.
I would hate to be in that man's vicinity and have a vagina. No. I would be terrified. And that is how women in this country feel, especially if they're indigenous, because of the hatred of those who give life of women in this country, especially by patriarchy and by the real eco-terrorists, climate deniers like Hoven.
Yes.
And Kevin Kramer.
And add that, Heidi Heitkamp, add Senator Heitkamp to that list.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Kirchmeier.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of these other people who abuse women easily. And notice how they like to project their hatred onto someone else.
Mm-hmm.
If they're rapists, if they have a history of being genocidal, homicidal rapists, they will blame the group of the people, the victims, and they will say they're the rapists. Colonizers were raping us and continue to rape us. And indigenous women are the most murdered and missing people in this country. And you know what? A lot of that has to do with man camps and oil. Here in North Dakota especially, people know that. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about poop. We're going to talk about cleanup. Bring in the emergency services. Bring in the people to raid. Let's get Charlie checkpoints everywhere in America. Round up all the brown people. The Muslims are scary. A travel ban for you. And you get a travel ban. And you get a travel ban. And you get a checkpoint. And you get a border wall. He's Monty Hall.
Exactly. Let's make a deal. You know, and the declaring of a declaring of an emergency is a funding issue. It's a way to get more money. It's also gives you
Because these guys are thieves.
And it gives
thieves
you,
and thugs.
It's a new word for martial law, basically. Declare an emergency, it's martial law.
Declaring emergency is martial law,
exactly.
And that's exactly what has been implemented. America, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
They came for us, the Mexicans,
yeah,
and America did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They came for the Muslims, and America did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now they are coming for you,
mm-hmm,
and there is no one to help because they're already rounding up all the Muslims, the Mexicans, the refugees,
mm-hmm,
all of the indigenous people,
exactly,
all the black people,
mm-hmm,
and you didn't care,
mm-hmm,
and nobody cared. You did nothing about it. And now we're all in the same basket.
Exactly.
Now we are all in the same problem. But you can write this. You can turn this around. And you know why I know it's true? Because I saw it at Standing Rock. I've seen it at other places. I saw it in Ferguson. I saw it in Baltimore. I saw it in North Carolina. I saw it in California. I've seen America rise up in protest and say, holy cow, now is our time. Now is our moment. Let's move quickly. Let's move now.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is really happening. I want to share with you more about the hypocrisy and the lies. I'm going to share with you a bunch of links to the articles. Jim Fugley had a really, really good one on the unheralded fish. You should go check out all of Jim Fugley's articles on what's really going on with the oil industry. I especially recommend the View from the Prairie, Death by a Thousand Cuts. And he talks about how there is no regulation. No one is ever fined in North Dakota. Even if they do catch you doing it, they don't tell you that you did anything wrong. Wink, wink. They don't tell the public about what you did do. You never get to know. And it's basically a poop show. And it's basically a joke. And that's what you have here. And as a person that studied the law, I could tell you that if there is no enforcement, the law doesn't exist. I mean, it can exist on paper, but if no one enforces it, it doesn't matter. So we may have all of these laws. It's probably an okay thing if Donald Trump gets rid of them, because no one's enforcing them anyhow. No one has been enforcing them. Now they're just getting rid of the charade so that there isn't anything on paper that people can look at that will contradict what they've been doing. And the same is true. Listen to me. The same is true for these immigration policies that they are now enforcing in this very abusive, horrible way, where they are rounding up people, stopping them at checkpoints, building this stupid wall that's like Swiss cheese. I mean, it's full of holes. It is a figment of your imagination that safety has anything to do with what they are doing to us. Safety has nothing to do with the bombings and the wars and the encroachments on other third world countries, oil-bearing countries. It's all about the money. It's all about the oil. It's about power. It's about greed. It is about oligarchy. It is about corporations running our government and billionaires running our world. That's what's really going on here. And those peoples never commit crimes. They never do anything wrong. Their hypocrisy is unmatched in anything. So I challenge all of you, my listeners, to start challenging the people around you. It may seem overwhelming, the things that we have to change, the things that we have to deal with, but I will tell you this. It is only overwhelming if you don't want to do anything about it. If you're looking for an excuse to run. If you're looking for an excuse to hate. But when you decide that you can be a difference, that you can make a change in the world, all you have to do is decide that you will, even if you don't know how. And then pray. Because believe me, those ways will appear. The ways in which you can help will appear once you decide that you don't care how difficult the task is. You're going to stand up for people who are being oppressed in this country. Whether they be Mexican, indigenous North American, indigenous Canadian, indigenous from the Central or South America, or people who in this country have been traditionally enslaved and oppressed, African people, women, refugees, immigrants, all of us need to start caring about the plight of each other. We need to start caring about and fighting for and standing up and showing up for each other. This is that time, believe me, because if we don't do it right now, in this moment, we may not survive. We may not survive what is happening. For those of you who are saying, oh, it's such a huge tragedy that I would be seeing it in my neighborhood, that's an excuse. You are a douchebag. You're excusing and laughing at the pain of others because it's not happening to you. You are not the center of the universe. These things do happen. They happen to people every day. And if you're looking for an excuse, then you don't need to be part of the conversation. You don't need to be part of the group of people who are fighting for something better, who are looking for a way. You need to get out of our way. I'm sending a lot of love to those who remain at camp that are truly committed to defending the water. I am praying for all of you. I am very scared of the disgusting military excuses, police excuses, administrative excuses, governmental excuses, legislative excuses to continue to be a bunch of genocidal, racist, and destructive, corrupt leaders in this state of North Dakota. I'm sick of it. You should be ashamed, and you will be remembered for your shameful actions, all of you. Now, Doug Burgum has added his name to that list, unfortunately. And so many others, Al Carlson, Kyle Kirchmeier, Sheriff Laney, Chief Ziegler, the list goes on. We all know who they are. They are the Bull Connors of our day. They are the Jack Rubies of our day. These are the most disgusting, despicable figures of our historical times. We will not forget you. We will always remember your history and repeat it to generation after generation of people so that your name lives in infamy. And never forget that there are protectors in this world. There are people that will stand up to oppression, like me, Cindy Gomez Shemp, a Mexican Crossing Lines. Thank you for being with us here on 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And I want to give a big shout out to everybody that's still at the camp. Don't forget, we stand with you. Mini Wachoni, water is life.